So this was my baseline for success for the Predators. One, there's two, it's twofold. One, they have to finish in at least the top two in their division, which means they have home ice advantage in at least the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, if they advance and they face the number one seed and they're the road team, that's fine. But they have to finish at least top two in their division and have home ice advantage in the first round. And this was my second part, which, by the way, Jared later texted me that it was a hot take. Now, if Jared is saying something is a hot take, then it's a scorching hot take.
Well,
like third degree burns if you touch this take, according to Jared. I think they have to make it to at least the Western Conference Final.
The Clarence S. Campbell Bowl awarded to the Western Conference champion, Nashville Predators, and now the first chance of "We want the cup" from the crowd here at Bridgestone Arena.
Boy, oh boy, we want to hear that sound again. Back at you, Willie and D. Mace, here on 102.5 The Game. Now, you just heard from Adam, who pretty much gave his prediction on the Chase and Big Joe show earlier. He gave his prediction. Now, I was in the car, and I was listening to Adam. It was a good conversation, actually.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he said, so if you want to listen to, you go back and listen to the show on the app, on the 102.5 Game app, or any other, you know, streaming platform we are on. You can listen to the Chase and Big Joe show from today, because Adam had a lot to say about the Nashville Predators and his expectations of the team and what he expects. When I heard it, I'm like, wow. So we just gonna jump the line. Like, we just gonna go from being in fifth place or sixth place, and we're gonna jump the line all the way up to the Western Conference, you know, finals. And that's a big jump now, because we hadn't talked about the other teams that played well this past season, the teams that were in the finals in the Western Conference, the teams that, you know, frankly, they haven't been able to consistently beat, you know, that are in their own division. So we're going to jump all the way from, what did they finish last year? The fifth spot, the fourth spot in their division.
Last year, they were the first wild card.
So the first wild card.
They finished 11th overall in the NHL with 99 points, a tie for 11th. The Kings and the Predators finished with 99. Mm-hmm. The Predators had the tiebreaker over the Kings. So the Predators were wild card one, and the Kings were wild card two.
So we are supposed
to
actually
the Kings, I think, ended up third in the Pacific, uh-huh, and the Golden Knights with 98 points were wild card two.
So we're going to go from the 11th seed, like the last seed, basically second to the last seed to get in.
Yeah, the seventh seed in the West.
You basically was the last, second to the last team to get in. They played their tails off, you know, toward the latter part of the season, which put themselves in a position to get into the playoffs. So we're supposed to take this team with the acquisitions they made in the offseason. Damn good ones, I get it. But we are to say that team who finished seventh, the first wild card spot, and they were playing through this the whole season. So we expect that same team to go from that spot all the way really to, I mean, realistically, what are you talking about? Third spot?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
So, second. Adam, if I've got this right, and listen to
me. And I know you don't have to be the number one team,
right,
you know, to make it to the Western Conference. I get all that.
Adam said his measure of success, did he say for the next two, over the next 2 years?
See, that's what I'm not clear about.
Or it's got to be this year.
I think he was talking this year.
This year
or
next year.
That's why it kind of threw me off, because he said this. I think he said this year. Play it again. I don't want to be wrong on this one.
So this was my baseline for success for the Predators. One, there's two, it's twofold. One, they have to finish in at least the top two in their division, which means they have home ice advantage in at least the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, if they advance and they face the number one seed and they're the road team, that's fine. But they have to finish at least top two in their division and have home ice advantage in the first round. And this was my second part, which, by the way, Jared later texted me that it was a hot take. Now, if Jared is saying something is a hot take, then it's a scorching hot take.
Well,
like third degree burns if you touch this take, according to Jared. I think they have to make it to at least the Western Conference final.
Okay, so it's not clear whether he's talking about, is he giving them 2 years to do this?
3 years.
Or what? 3 years or just 1 year?
But I would assume by the way he crafted the sentence, he meant this year.
See,
that's
I
the way
know.
It sounds.
I could be wrong. I'm a lot more inclined to side with him if he's giving me 2 or 3 years.
If my memory serves me right, because I was producing the show, I think he said up to 2 to 3 years.
I know 2 to 3 years came into the conversation, but I don't know if it was after the conversation was over with in regards to Western Conference Finals.
Oh, no, I believe, again, if my memory serves me right, Adam can correct me, text me, whatever, but I believe he said for that comment we just played was for this year.
Adam is verifying. He just
is it this year?
He said this is his baseline for this year.
Yep.
I would say that's pretty lofty. Mm-hmm. But here's how I look at these things, okay? And look, you know, we've had a lot of arguments in terms of Tennessee, the Titans, Vanderbilt, the Predators. Mm-hmm. How do you measure success? To me, I'm a lot more inclined to say a season was successful or not successful based on how it all plays out. Uh-huh. So I don't know that you have to say it's got to be this. Like, who do they lose to? Mm-hmm. For example, the Vegas Golden Knights, the defending champions, they lost in the first round. Mm-hmm. But everything that they wanted to do to set themselves up to go into the playoffs, they did. They got everybody back. They made acquisitions at the trade deadline. They lost to a very good Dallas Stars team. Seven games. Can you sit there and say their season wasn't a success? You know, that's a tough argument for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not winning the whole thing, but they did what they set out to do. And that's put your team in position to have all of the ingredients to make a deep playoff run. But just the way that it is laid out, let's take the Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg last year had 110 points, 52 wins, tied for the fourth most points in the entire NHL. They lost in the first round to the Avalanche, another heavyweight team. Somebody was going to lose. So Adam's thing is you got to get the second seed. Well, that's what Winnipeg had.
Yeah.
Right? They had the second seed. They lost to the Avalanche. That was a 50-50 series in my mind. So was the Winnipeg Jets season a success? Well, how many times have the Jets in their history had 110 points? Not very many. But it is really hard to say you've got to make it to the Western Conference. You got to win two rounds for your season to be successful because each round is so tough. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first seed, if you were to win your division, maybe you get a wild card that isn't that great. But last year, let's say, were the Predators an easy out wild card? No, they stood toe-to-toe with the Pacific champion, Canucks. That series, you go back through it, I think Andrew Burnett put it into good words with Adam. He said, there were 6 full games played. Mm-hmm. One of them went to overtime. And the series was decided, if you take a look at it closely, in about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? The swing plays in about 3.5 minutes were the difference in the Predators maybe winning the series and the Canucks. And he's referring to game one, where the Predators gave up 2 goals in 12 seconds to go from up 2-1 to down 3-2. Mm-hmm. And game one was gone, where they were kind of in the driver's seat. And obviously game four here, the one that everybody's always going to remember, up 3-1 with 3 minutes to go, gave up the 2 6-on-5 goals. That's how close these series are. So I have a hard time saying that if you're right there and you don't win, your season is not a success. Now, I will say this. What Barry Trotz has stick to is kind of what I think. Do you have a team that when they start that playoff series, whether you're the 1 seed, the 3 seed, the 5 seed, because Edmonton wasn't the 1 seed, right? But Edmonton, because of the slow start, they were climbing as the season went on. Does your team have the elements, all of the elements, all the ways you can win checked off? Are you a contender? Last year, Nashville was not a heavyweight contender, right? Mm-hmm. They were kind of a welterweight, overachiever, surprise team that was playing really well down the stretch. And they were a tough out. That's one level. To me, is what I'm hoping for these next couple of teams, is that they become a team that looks like a heavyweight when the postseason starts. The expectation is to make the playoffs and have the ability to go win playoff series, but knowing you're going to have to beat other heavyweights to do it.
Yeah, there's going to be sort of this gauntlet. Like, now, we don't know how the season, the 24-25 season, will ultimately kind of go. You know, Florida, who won the championship, we don't know if they may, you know, put themselves in a position to repeat. We think they will. It's a damn good team, but anything can happen, injuries, anything else. You know, trying to repeat, I'm sure, is harder than trying to get that first one, because now everybody's gunning for you. But I just look at this Nashville Predator team. If Adam was saying, like, in the next 3 years, they got to at least put themselves in a position to win a championship, I would agree with that 100%. Like, you made all of these moves. You acquired these pieces that are a little bit older, which made the team older as a whole. You did this for a specific reason. You did it to win the championship. And if you can at least put yourself in a position to then win that championship within this 3 years, then, yeah, it's a disappointment to me.
No question. Disappointment for sure.
Exactly. But the first year?
I'd like to see 2 or 3 years where I would be very disappointed if they don't make a deep run one of these next couple of years with this group. Because that's why you do it. The other reason that Barry Trotz is going to stick to with his long term, whereas I want to keep giving myself a chance in the long run, is you hope that the winning attitude, the winning makeup of all of these guys that they've got on this team who have won a lot, they've already got a lot of skins on the wall, that makes a great impression on the next wave of guys that we talked about in the last segment.
Yeah.
Right? And that group is maybe better equipped to win 3 or 4 years down the road. So you don't hit the end of the road with the 30-somethings and then crash into a wall where now, oh my gosh, what do we do? Now we've got to take a huge step back. Mm-hmm. You're hoping to not have to do that. And that's another benefit of how they've tried to build this team.
Well, you see certain teams, they're able to do it, whether it be certain teams in different sports or whether it be a team within hockey where, you know, we can make these moves and make the roster a little bit older, but we believe in our younger guys to the point where as these older guys start to segue out, we believe that they will mature by then, and then we'll be ready to take over the throne or the mantle and ready to run with it. That's how we envision it. That's in a perfect world. I look at this Predator team, like this 1 to 3 years for them is going to be crucial. I really do. Because
no doubt. Because they put some chips on the table.
You put the chips on the table, and you've told everybody in the organization, anybody that's affiliated with the organization, hell, even the fans, listen, we are running at this thing hard for the next 3 years. But we expect, as we're doing this, these younger guys are watching and they're learning from these older guys. So when, you know, they get older, now they can segue in. To me, the first year, I think, is maybe the most frustrating year from this standpoint, because fans are going to be looking at this team as Adam looks at them. And I do, in a sense, and I know you do. You do as well, Willie. This team is good enough to make a long run, but just because the team is good enough doesn't mean the chemistry is there just yet. That's why I'm looking at this season. To me, what would be a success outside of Stanley Cup? You went around. Went around first. Let's win around first. I don't want to jump the line and say, go from winning a round, which they haven't done in some years, to saying now you got to be in the Western Conference. And I understand why Adam's saying it, because other fans are thinking it. Like, you went and got all these pieces. With the pieces you have, you got one of the best goalies. Yeah, you should be in the Western Conference finals. I get it. But it's not just as easy as going out and getting – quote unquote serial winners, guys that can play. It's not that easy, because if it was that easy, every team in the league, in all leagues, would be doing it. Now, it's a little bit easier to do it in basketball, but I think hockey is a little bit harder. To me, I want to see how this team do through the season, because it's going to take a minute for this team to build a rapport that they need to consistently win and to beat the Dallas or the Vancouver's out there or the Vegas Knights, teams that either have won the Stanley Cup already or still good. It's going to take a minute. So that's why I'm looking at this first year as this is a year where the chemistry is built. I do want them to win a series in the playoffs. I do, and possibly even more.
Oh, yeah.
But if they don't make it to the Stanley Cup Finals or the Western Conference Finals, I'm not looking at that as a disappointment. Because to me, they're going to struggle. And more than likely, they're going to struggle at the beginning because everybody's still trying to figure this out.
Right, and that might make it hard for them to get the number two seed or the number one seed that Adams' standard is. So I'm not quite as concerned of where you finish in the regular season as long as you get in there and you have the ability to have a team that could beat anybody else if things fall right. And that's the biggest problem, and I think Adam gets this when he says this, right? The best team doesn't always win these series, right? Edmonton almost lost to Vancouver in the second round. Nashville almost beat Vancouver, sort of, in the first round. But the difference in those series, a play here, a play there, that's what it comes down to. But all you can do is put a team out there that has as many ingredients and ways to beat you as you can. I think that's why ultimately Florida won, even though they almost blew a 3-0 lead. But they had the best, deepest team that lit up all of the lights. Could they score? Could they beat you 5-4? Yeah. Could they shut you down defensively? Yeah. Did they have a great goalie who could steal a game? Yeah. To me, that's what you're trying to put out there. I don't know that Nashville's got all of that that Florida had, but they're much closer with this group on paper than last year's group, right? I think we would say that that's so they've made a big step forward. And then to me, not this coming year, but the next year might be when you have a chance to really have some young depth that is pushing and helping the older players. That, to me, might be the best chance 2 years from now. That's just a theory that I have right now. But look, Barry Trotz said it, and there's nothing wrong with going for it.
No,
especially when you have Josi, Forsberg, Soros, three guys that have been there since the beginning. Like Forsberg, they traded for, but before he ever played, they played all of their NHL hockey in Nashville. They now have no excuses. They have been given a team that on paper has a chance to go win something. And I think that's – so the expectation should be higher.
Yeah, and you owe it, I believe, to those guys that you just mentioned. You owe it to those guys because those guys have been here fighting through, you know, the disappointing, you know, first round exits or not making the playoffs. And now they feel in their mind they have a team put together with some older guys and some youth that they have an opportunity. And that's all you want in sports, especially at the professional level, a realistic opportunity. Everybody can say we got an opportunity. At the beginning of the season, everybody got an opportunity. I understand that. But who has a realistic opportunity? And now, because of the moves that they've made, they have a realistic opportunity, I would say, within the next 3 years. I'm not counting anything after that because it might get even better, but I don't know. But at least in these next 3 years, I know what they set out to do via free agency and the draft. I know what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, so, you know the plan.
Exactly. You know
people
the plan.
People aren't going to call and get mad at me. What's the plan?
Well, we know the plan. The plan is to win and to win now.
Yes. And hopefully not after this window is over with this group of players, the Stamkos, the 30-somethings, not have to completely stop and go back to square one when it's over. You hope that you have a deep enough pool of prospects that you're going to have reinforcements ready to help and bridge that gap as this team ages even more. So that's what we got. What do you guys think? 615-737-1025. That's the phone number. We'd love to hear from some of you. Our text line is still on the fritz. We're not able to figure out what's going on with that. Hopefully that's going to be squared away. That happened last week. We're in a transition there. But we'd love to hear from you, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's your expectation level for the Predators in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. How disappointed would you be if there's not at least one deep playoff run in there? And it is. And do you have to get to the Western Conference Final to have a measure of success, according to Adam? That's his hot take. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Teron Davenport will join us at 1 o'clock here on Willie and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game.
What made you believe that these guys going into their mid-30s can be the players that are worth investing in?
Well, I think a couple things. We're in a position, I think, as a franchise, and it was set up, and I give David a lot of credit for making some of the trades that he did, be it especially the Jeannot trade, which gave us lots of draft capital. We have prospects coming. We have lots of draft capital. I mean, next year we've got two firsts, two seconds, three thirds, and we've got a whole complement of draft the following year. We're in a position right now where we can buy some time for our young guys. I mean, the mistakes that we've made in the past are, I think, if we have a hole in the second line, we grab one of the kids from Milwaukee and go, okay, he's going to be a second line player. And it's too big of a jump for those players. So what happens? They underperform. Maybe they don't perform. They're just not capable at that point in their career. And then, we get a little bit disappointed. They lose a little confidence, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work. What we want to do, for our fans and for everybody on the radio listening, if you just take our top two lines, which is obviously our number one line with O'Reilly, and you put Stanley and Marchessault, and just, for instance, say Tommy Novak, if you put that as a line, then all of a sudden you look at, we have an identity line with McCarron and Smith and maybe Sissons, and then you got Evangelista and Tomasino, and we all of a sudden you can see there's room for our young guys, but they don't have to carry the burden of being the guy.
That's Barry Trotz on our show, Willie and D-Mace, last Wednesday. Willie and D-Mace brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. He went on to say in that answer, and it was a very detailed conversation. We had about 25 minutes straight talking to Barry Trotz. He said, as the young guys mature and the older guys age, he said, over time, the young guys will move up in the lineup. The older guys will move a little bit down in the lineup. That's why he's hoping that he can continue to transition for more than 2 or 3 years. He's pretty excited about the prospect pool right now, I can tell. But they've got to do it, right? They've got to continue to mature and get better and deliver. And that is something that you won't know until they actually do it. So he's not looking at it as he's put all his eggs in 1 or 2 years. But that having been said, he knows as well as anybody that there's going to be a lot of excitement, and with that excitement comes expectations. And look, you think Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault don't want to come in, their expectation is going to be to win playoff rounds? I'm just trying to stop a little short of Adams saying you got to make it to the Western Conference Final for it to be a success, because let's look at 2018. That's probably the best Predator regular season team ever. Mm-hmm. They won the President's Trophy. Pekka-Rinne won the Vezina Trophy, and they lost in the second round in the seventh game to a team that was almost as good. That arguably they were two of the most complete teams in the league that year, and they lost in the second round. So by Adam's standard, that season would not have been a success. No. I don't know that this team going into the year is as good as that team. That's a really interesting question. Like, on paper, the name recognition probably is better with this team in this coming year when you add, like, the star quality of Stamkos, of Marchessault, with Forsberg, O'Reilly. These are names that people know around the league. That team in 2018 had guys like Ryan Johansson, Kyle Turris, Kevin Fiala, Craig Smith playing big roles, right? They had the stars on the defense core, probably more so than this team. But that team had, 116, 118 points?
Yeah.
I don't know that this team's going to get that many points. And it's not as important as are they equipped to make a deep playoff run. So you see what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. so hard. You're going to run up against other heavyweights, and a series could be so close that you don't win. That being said, look, they need to win playoff. They need to win a playoff series because the fan base is really hungry. They're tired of the label of I'm tired of getting beat mm-hmm. in the first round. I get that. So I will meet you halfway and say for it to be a success and not have major disappointment, find a way to win a playoff series. But the problem is you go that 2-3, right? Winnipeg, mm-hmm. 110 points. Colorado, 109 points or whatever. Two great teams. Somebody was going to lose in the first round.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I mean, for me, I understand why Adam said that at least for him this season, it needs to be, you know, a Western Conference final. I can understand it because I truly believe that there are other people that in the hockey world that knows hockey, obviously much better than I do, and there are fans that are thinking this way, that the moves that they've made with the players that they had from last season, this team, after scoring 99 points, and mind you, this is a team that didn't start off well. They managed
5-10.
They managed to come back, and you know they managed to sort of resurrect the season. This team had 99 points, and they finished fourth in the Central. Even with that, so people are probably looking at that, then looking at who they had, and they say, "Listen, this team should be at least no less than a 100-point team." And I get it. I understand all that. But, again, it goes back to it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't, because there are a bunch of really good teams out there. It's about two things. First and foremost, how do you, with all these new faces, how do you mesh as a team? How do you build that camaraderie that you're going to need on those when you get in the middle of the season? And it's a drag, and people are tired. So you're going to have to build that chemistry that you need to survive that. And then not only that, what is it? A war of attrition for every team. Who keeps their guys upright the longest? Who stays healthiest as the season go? Those are the two things that are going to be critical to this Nashville Predator team. Not that they went out and got Stamkos and Shea and all these other guys. No. One, can these guys mesh quick enough or build that cohesiveness they're going to need? Because, one, you got to figure out these lines.
Right.
You got to figure out the lines
the
first.
The chemistry is going to be
exactly. The
important.
Chemistry is going. And then who stays healthiest the longest?
And hopefully they've done the bulk. They've done the groundwork for chemistry. Uh-huh. With last year's
exactly,
team.
Absolutely.
Because as you pointed out, they went 5-10. It didn't look real good for a while, but then it all came together. So you hope that you have a foundation of chemistry and leadership, and that will make it a little bit easier for three major, major accomplished players, Shea, Marchessault, Stamkos, to mm-hmm. come in and make their mark. But it is going to take time. So it's not played on paper. How their games mesh will be important. It's going to be one of the most anticipated seasons, I think, mm-hmm. In Predators history, probably top five. I would say coming off the Stanley Cup final, obviously there was a lot of hype for that one, and they delivered with the President's Cup trophy in the regular season. We know what happened in the second round of the playoffs. It is tough to sit there and say they should win X, because in hockey, the razor's edge of a salary cap league, I don't care how good you are, mm-hmm. you are beatable in the playoffs. That's what's so tough about this puzzle. But we're going to find out. That's why they play the games. It's going to be fun. Same is true in the NFL. With the salary cap, the difference between the top team and the bottom team is not that much. Not like college football. Teron Davenport's going to join us next. So stay tuned. We'll talk with TD on the third hour of Willie and D-Mace next.
What made you believe that these guys going into their mid-30s can be the players that are worth investing in?
Well, I think a couple things. We're in a position, I think, as a franchise, and it was set up, and I give David a lot of credit for making some of the trades that he did, be it especially the Jeannot trade, which gave us lots of draft capital. We have prospects coming. We have lots of draft capital. I mean, we get next year, we've got two firsts, two seconds, three thirds, and we've got a whole complement of draft the following year. We're in a position right now where we can buy some time for our young guys. I mean, the mistakes that we've made in the past, I think, if we have a hole in the second line, we grab one of the kids from Milwaukee and go, okay, he's going to be a second line player. And it's too big of a jump for those players. So what happens? They underperform. Maybe they don't perform. They're just not capable at that point in their career. And then, we get a little bit disappointed. They lose a little confidence, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work. What we want to do, if you just, for our fans and for everybody on the radio listening, if you just take our top two lines, which is obviously our number one line with O'Reilly, and you put Stanley and Marcia So, and just, for instance, say Tommy Novak, you put that as a line, then all of a sudden you look at, we have an identity line with McCarron and Smith and maybe Sissons, and then you got Evangelista and Tomasino, and all of a sudden you can see there's room for our young guys, but they don't have to carry the burden of being the guy.
That's Barry Trotz on our show, Willie and D-Mace, last Wednesday. Willie and D-Mace brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. He went on to say in that answer, and it was a very detailed conversation. We had about 25 minutes straight talking to Barry Trotz. He said, as the young guys mature and the older guys age, he said, over time, the young guys will move up in the lineup. The older guys will move a little bit down in the lineup. That's why he's hoping that he can continue to transition for more than 2 or 3 years. He's pretty excited about the prospect pool right now, I can tell. But they've got to do it, right? They've got to continue to mature and get better and deliver. And that is something that you won't know until they actually do it. So he's not looking at it as he's put all his eggs in 1 or 2 years. But that having been said, he knows as well as anybody that there's going to be a lot of excitement, and with that excitement comes expectations. And look, you think Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault don't want to come in, their expectation is going to be to win playoff rounds? I'm just trying to stop a little short of Adams saying you got to make it to the Western Conference Final for it to be a success, because let's look at 2018. That's probably the best Predator regular season team ever. Mm-hmm. They won the President's Trophy. Pekka-Rinne won the Vezina Trophy, and they lost in the second round in the seventh game to a team that was almost as good. That arguably they were two of the most complete teams in the league that year, and they lost in the second round. So by Adam's standard, that season would not have been a success. No. I don't know that this team going into the year is as good as that team. That's a really interesting question. Like, on paper, the name recognition probably is better with this team in this coming year when you add, like, the star quality of Stamkos, of Marchessault, with Forsberg, O'Reilly. These are names that people know around the league. That team in 2018 had guys like Ryan Johansson, Kyle Turris, Kevin Fiala, Craig Smith playing big roles, right? They had the stars on the defense core, probably more so than this team. But that team had, 116, 118 points?
Yeah.
I don't know that this team's going to get that many points. And it's not as important as are they equipped to make a deep playoff run. So you see what I'm saying? It's so hard. You're going to run up against other heavyweights, and a series could be so close that you don't win. That being said, look, They need to win playoff. They need to win a playoff series because the fan base is really hungry. They're tired of the label of, I'm tired of getting beat in the first round. I get that. So I will meet you halfway and say, for it to be a success and not have major disappointment, find a way to win a playoff series. But the problem is, you go that 2-3, right? Winnipeg, mm-hmm. 110 points. Colorado, 109 points or whatever. Two great teams. Somebody was going to lose in the first round.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I mean, for me, I can, again, I understand why Adam said that at least for him this season, it needs to be, you know, a Western Conference final. I can understand it because I truly believe that there are other people that in the hockey world that knows hockey, obviously much better than I do, and there are fans that are thinking this way, that the moves that they've made with the players that they had from last season, this team, after scoring 99 points, and mind you, this is a team that didn't start off well. They managed
5-10.
Yeah, they managed to come back, and you know they managed to sort of resurrect the season. This team had 99 points, and they finished fourth in the Central. Even with that, so people are probably looking at that, then looking at who they had, and they say, "Listen, this team should be at least no less than a 100-point team." And I get it. I understand all that. But, again, it goes back to it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't, because there are a bunch of really good teams out there. It's about two things. First and foremost, how do you, with all these new faces, how do you mesh as a team? How do you build that camaraderie that you're going to need on those when you get in the middle of the season? And it's a drag, and people are tired. So you're going to have to build that chemistry that you need to survive that. And then not only that, what is it? A war of attrition for every team. Who keeps their guys upright the longest? Who stays healthiest as the season go? Those are the two things that are going to be critical to this Nashville Predator team. Not that they went out and got Stamkos and Shea and all these other guys. No. One, can these guys mesh quick enough or build that cohesiveness they're going to need? Because, one, you got to figure out these lines.
Right, right.
You got to figure out the lines
the
first.
The chemistry is going to be
exactly. The
important.
Chemistry is going. And then who stays healthiest the longest?
And hopefully they've done the bulk. They've done the groundwork for chemistry with last year's
exactly.
team.
Absolutely.
Because, as you pointed out, they went 5-10. It didn't look real good for a while, but then it all came together. So you hope that you have a foundation of chemistry and leadership, and that will make it a little bit easier for three major, major accomplished players, Shea, Marchessault, Stamkos, to come in and make their mark. But it is going to take time. It's not played on paper. How their games mesh will be important. It's going to be one of the most anticipated seasons, I think, in Predators history. Probably top five. I would say coming off of the Stanley Cup final, obviously there was a lot of hype for that one. And they delivered with the President's Cup trophy in the regular season. We know what happened in the second round of the playoffs. It is tough to sit there and say they should win X. Because in hockey, the razor's edge of a salary cap league, I don't care how good you are, you are beatable in the playoffs. That's what's so tough about this puzzle. But we're going to find out. That's why they play the games. It's going to be fun. Same is true in the NFL. The salary cap, the difference between the top team and the bottom team is not that much. Not like college football. Teron Davenport's going to join us next. So stay tuned. We'll talk with TD on the third hour of Willie and D-Mace next.